Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago. In my ministry, I trust it'll bless you.
Abraham, when it came time for him to offer his offering, he couldn't do it just any place. It only could be in Hamakom. It only could be in the place. That's where God would receive. So we know that was the same place where Abraham offered up his son. Now tonight, we're going to talk about Islam. Don't miss tonight. Because this really isn't a Jewish and Arab problem. This is a Bible-Quran clash. This is a Jehovah-Allah clash. This is a Jehovah-Satan clash. And we're in the midst of it right now. So you don't want to miss tonight. But that rock is in Hamakom, the place, and that rock, and I'm going to talk more about this tonight, that rock is covered today with a golden dome. In the 690s, I'm reading you from A Regular History of the Arab People written by an Arab, and it says here, in the 690s, there was erected the first building which clearly asserted that Islam was distinct and would endure. This was the Dome of the Rock, built on the site of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. They did it on purpose. The building of the dome in this place has been convincingly interpreted as a symbolic act placing Islam in the lineage of Abraham and disassociating it from Judaism and Christianity. The inscriptions around the interior are the earliest known physical embodiment of texts from the Quran. You know, we say, and Dr. Craig knows, we know which manuscripts we have that are the oldest. We don't have the original ones, but we know which ones we've got that are the oldest. The oldest manuscript, you might say, of the Quran, the oldest place it's written down that they have, is around the top of that dome. Arabic writing. And I've been there many, many times with groups, and they say to me, what does that say up there? And I say, I don't know. I'll ask somebody, and I'll ask the Jewish guide or whatever. I said, we don't know. I never knew what it said until I got this book. Listen what it says. The inscriptions around the interior, the earliest known physical embodiment of texts of the Quran, proclaim the greatness of Allah, the mighty, the wise. They declare that God and his angels bless the prophet. And those writings call upon Christians to recognize Jesus as an apostle of God, his word and his spirit, but not his son. Dum, dee, dum, dum. Would I repeat that? I'm going to repeat it tonight, and I can repeat it right again for you right now. I'm telling you, folks, politics these days, the news these days, it's not political, it's spiritual. And that's what the President of the United States needs to know. And I believe he does. That's what our State Department needs to know. Here's what is written. Those writings proclaim the greatness of Allah, the mighty, the wise. They declare that God and his angels bless the prophet, meaning Muhammad. And they call upon Christians to recognize Jesus as an apostle of God, his word and his spirit, but not his son. Now that, there is so much in what Abraham did with his son that allowed God to do with mankind what he did with his son. And on that rock is where it happened, and the devil has written, and it's been there since 600s. I think it was 630. How many years is that? Somebody added up. Just subtracted or whatever. It's been written around there, Jesus is not the Son of God. You think it's coming down? It's not going to be long. I don't know. When I woke up this morning, I just woke up. And the Lord was just giving me Deuteronomy 12, ta-dum, 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 the place. He wanted us to talk about this. Now that's going to be, I can tell you for sure it's going to be because it's going to be in the news. Hallelujah. Jacob saw this place. Turn with me to Genesis 28. And folks, that's why he wants me to teach about some of these things. He wants to be able to put a burden on you sometimes. And sometimes it'll be travail. And lives can be saved. Judgments can come, but lives can be saved in them. If men will walk in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, and hallelujah. You know, the Lord tells you in Timothy, first of all, pray for those that are in authority. So let's be sure we do that. Genesis 28. Remember, Abraham had a son named what? Isaac. And Isaac had a son named Jacob. And it is through this line that the promise is unto. We studied that Abraham had other sons. He had Ishmael. And he had all Keturah's sons. But they were sent eastward. And they occupy what is now Saudi Arabia and the lands of Arabia and many of those lands. Now, they have got plenty of land. Genesis 28:1. And Yitzhak called Yaakov. I'll just say it the way it's pronounced in Hebrew, okay? And blessed him and charged him. And said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the sons of Canaan. Arise. You know what he said to him? Kum. If you're going to tell a man to arise, you say kum. If you're going to tell a feminine female to arise, you say kumi. That's why Jesus said talita kumi. But here he said kum. Go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban. Verse 3, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee. Verse 4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Islam says that the promises come down through Ishmael. Islam says that it was Ishmael that was offered on that rock and not Isaac. So, verse 10. And Yaakov went from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place. The Hebrew translation reads, he lighted upon, he encountered Ha-Makom. He encountered, by accident, Ha-Makom. He happened to get at that place, encountered it, probably by accident. Not maybe a God accident, I'm sure, but he encountered Ha-Makom, is how the Hebrew reads. And he tarried there all night because the sun would set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that Makom to sleep. And here he has a prophetic dream. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I remember this. I was in Sunday school, little girl, and we got every month from headquarters a big picture for our Sunday school room that would go along with the lessons. Do any of you remember such things? And I really remember this picture we got. I just loved to look at that picture. And it showed, you know, Jacob there, and it showed the angels going up and down the ladder. And I really liked it. And I always would wonder about how he could sleep on a pillow. I mean, on a stone. But anyway, it was a prophetic dream. And usually, I don't remember that my Sunday school lesson ever went beyond that much. That angels descended and went back and forth from heaven. But look what happened in that dream, verse 13. Behold, Jehovah stood above it. We're talking about Jehovah. God the Father stood above that opening. He got up off his throne, came and stood over that opening and looked down there. That's a biggie. Woo! And he said, I am Yahweh or Jehovah, God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. This is not only the land of Israel, this is the Temple Mount. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. He's prophesying the scattering and the ingathering. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Yaakov awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely Yahweh is in this Makom. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, and here's how the Jews, how Hebrew translates this, how awesome is this Makom. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. There's something special about that Temple Mount. Hallelujah. Now, David, King David comes along. And David knows, and actually, they literally could not. God, people think that Israel got off because they demanded a king, and they did because it was too soon. But God always prophesied to them a king, and we know he's going to be a king Messiah. And he always was to have a type in the earth, but it was to be at God's choosing and at God's time. And to the king that God raised up, it would be revealed where this place is. And that king of God's choosing was King David. And not out of time. He chose Saul, all right, but only because they pressed him too soon. But he chose David. Look at Psalm 132. People know about this Makom. They know there's a place. They don't know exactly where it is. They might stumble upon it. It's going to be revealed where it is. And King David, he had a yearning to find this place. And he sang about it, of course. He sang psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And he sang this, verse 3. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a Makom for Jehovah and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. I'm not going to sleep until I find this place. He knew that he should find it, being the king. And he did find it. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 17. Now here you pick up some of his yearnings. 1 Chronicles 17:1. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet. I think I'll just give you Hebrew pronunciations. You don't mind, do you? Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in an house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remains under curtains. And Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And then we see that God does answer, and he says it is his will that David find the place and build the house, but David can't do it because David has shed too much blood.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.